I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here today, just me and two moms, actually, that you get this time. So we can chat a little bit about what the homeopathic healing of rage looks like. So this is part of our series that we're doing where we're tackling in shorter form. So this is probably not going to be a super long episode where we're talking about what the healing journey typically looks like with specific symptoms that are commonly associated with pans and pandas, because it's not all the same. We're not going to see homeopathic healing of pans just happen all at once. It's not going to be linear. It's not going to be one and done and permanent and everything is wonderful. There's going to be ups and downs. And so we wanted to share with you a little bit more of what that can look like. Before we start with this, we need to remember that we're talking about generalities and we're talking about two moms and the lived experience in their homes. We are not talking about what is exactly and guaranteed to happen in your home. What you could see could be very different depending on your unique circumstances, exposures, life situations that are happening at the time, and the symptoms that you're having. Could also involve things that are different medications, different triggers, different length of time that you've been dealing with it, that all could impact the way that your personal healing journey is going to look. So again, just generalities, but it still can be helpful to hear from others what it looks like to heal these specific symptoms. So again, talking about rage today. So Jody with us as always, and then Brittany, someone who used to be on our team and who is a PANS mom who's been through it with a couple of kids. And you guys can also share your own experiences, because let's be honest, moms have rage too. And especially when you're a PANS mom and you add in something like perimenopause, it's going to show up, right? And so we can talk about how rage is, how people can recover from rage in all different aspects of their life. All right. So don't hold back. We'll just share it all, because it all matters. Because as we always talk about, PANS is a family condition. And so mom rage matters too, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
So welcome, Brittany. And thanks for joining us to share your story on this.
Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be here.
So if you guys wouldn't mind, I'd like to start out if you could just share a little bit about what rage looked like in your homes before we start talking about what healing might look like. So just share like when it was at its worst, what it was like, to set the context for everybody. Okay. Jody, do you want to start?
Yeah, I was just thinking before we started recording, I love that we have like the girl experience and the boy experience with you, Brittany. So we got it, because I know those things look different, and I know the age difference look different as well. So with Avery, what that looked like is, you know, starting in the beginning, there wasn't a whole lot of rage with her. She was irritated and stuff like that. But as we kept trying other treatments and things would work for a second, stop working, that rage just like stepped its way up slowly over time and just got more and more and more. And really, you know, at its worst, there was, you know, before rage ever showed up, there was this look in Avery's eyes, and I just knew, like, I knew it was coming. She would get glazed over. She would get frustrated about something and just go into this almost like OCD loop about whatever the thing was that she was frustrated about. And there was just no stopping it. It didn't matter how much managing, how much distracting, how much. And I literally might be the queen of like distracting children away from things that they're like honing in on. That didn't work in PANS. That it just kept going full steam ahead. And so it would end up in a big explosion, yelling, screaming, hitting, just being violent in the direction of siblings and having to separate, just complete out of her mind, just anger from a child that has never, like, she doesn't show anger. She doesn't get super frustrated. And it is just really like her ability to rationalize anything in those moments was just out the door. And she was just on fire until she wasn't. And then it would switch. And you could just see her coming down from it, coming out of it. And then she would have a minute to process. And then she'd be like, I have no idea why I did that. Like, I was trying really hard not to do that. And she would feel remorse and she would apologize. And so it was a lot of that when she was at her worst. What about you, Brittany?
Yeah, I think for us, it's interesting to hear your perspective, because some things are so similar and then other things are very different. So it was not gradual with either of my boys, actually. That was one of the very first things that showed up for us. And it was not like, I can see this coming. It was like, we're sitting here, this is a beautiful day, and out of nowhere, we'd get sucker punched with this kid who was just, you know, to the nth degree angry for set off by the tiniest thing or nothing at all sometimes. For my oldest, it was, you know, like I said, it was one of the things that came almost immediately. When I remember the first time that I was like, there's something wrong. It was in the morning. All of a sudden, we were getting him up to go to school and the lights were too bright. He was screaming. He wanted total darkness in the kitchen to eat. His pancakes were not cut the right way. And he just lost it. Absolutely also screaming, yelling in, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he couldn't tell me what's wrong, but also everything was wrong. And, you know, it didn't matter. And you talk about mom rage, like you try to like, what is happening? I'm like, why is my kid acting like this right now? And so then I'd be like, you need to stop. Like, this is ridiculous. We're not going to do this morning. Like, come on. You know, and it would just go. And then we'd finally move away from breakfast. And then we'd jump into, I didn't know it was OCD at the time, but it was OCD about what we were going to wear to school. And I'm just like, what are you, you're 3 and a half. What do you mean? Like, why are you acting like a teenager right now, trying to like being so specific about your clothes and things like that and all this stuff? And it was just absolute pandemonium until we would walk out the door. With him, it was screaming, it was yelling, it was crying, it was, and kind of the same thing that you mentioned, Jody, it was like, after, it was just this, like, what happened? Like, had no idea. There was often times where as he got through it and he got older, I don't know what happened. Like, tell me, like, did I do that? I really did that? Yeah. And then that remorse and feeling bad. And there was anything you could do to avoid it. Like you said, the only way out of it was through it. We just had to buckle up and get through it. And then my youngest, it was still kind of the same thing, that very explosive for absolutely no reason anger, except he had a tendency to be more violent. My oldest would cry. Torben, not even, it wasn't about crying. Or anything like that. He was mad, 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 mad. And he would throw things. He wanted to hit. He wanted, the second you did something he didn't like, he wanted to come hit you. He wanted to throw something at you. He wanted to kick. And then came the screaming and the rage and the running around and things like that. And same thing. We just had to get through it. We had to get through it. With him, we found that eventually at some point, swinging helped him. That input that he got from swinging would often help him calm. And the best part was when he also realized that swinging helped him. And that was the only way I could be like, Torben, we need to go swing. And he would be like, okay, in the middle of the rage, and we would do it. So yeah, it's a lot of similarities, lots of differences. Still, I think it's interesting that the boys were that very like explosive. And you said that like with Avery, you could kind of see that coming. That's not to say that that's like absolutely how everything goes. But you just mentioned that. And I'm like, it's interesting that we did have very different experiences there.
Yeah. And there does tend to be patterns like that where boys in general are more on the quickly explosive, aggressive, violent, destructive place, and girls that are more commonly having the slower build and, you know, gentler rage, if we can even say gentler rage, or even more internal focusing rage. Sometimes rage can look like self-injury, right? Especially in girls. And rage, oftentimes, as you both really alluded to, and Brittany outright mentioned at least one aspect of it, rage is often secondary to something else that's happening, right? So rage might be the most prominent symptom that you see, but it's probably connected to something else, often to OCD or sensory issues. Was another one that you didn't outright say was connected to the rage, but you mentioned it. You know, it was too bright, and then there's the OCD with the pancakes weren't cut perfectly. And so oftentimes rage is a secondary response to a lower, a more primal or more primary, at the very least, either emotion or symptom that you're experiencing. And in PANS, it's oftentimes related to the OCD that is driving them bonkers and controlling their life, and that they are feeling frustrated by, because, as you said, Jody, they oftentimes are having this experience where they don't connect with what they're doing. Like, their brain is making them do something that they don't want to be doing, and they're frustrated with that, right? So it's the same sort of frustration when their parent, when a child without PANS, when their parent is making them do something that they don't want to do, but they're having it with themselves because their own brain is making them do something that they don't want to do, and the difficulty you can have with that. And so a lot of times what we'll see with healing rage, fortunately, rage does tend to be one of the faster responding symptoms, one of the faster to heal, not always, but it does tend to come on the sooner side of things. And so what this will often look like is a reduction in frequency, intensity, or duration. Not that the rage is gone, but that you might go from having it 6 times a day to 3 times a day, or you might still have it 6 times a day, but it lasts 30 minutes instead of 2 hours, or it might still be 6 times a day and 2 hours long, but instead of holes all over your house, there's some pillows that have been punched and some like moaning and groaning, but the intensity has dropped back. That's usually what we're going to see. A lot of the same patterns that we're seeing in general with healing with homeopathy: 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. So changes in frequency, intensity, and duration over time, and usually on the earlier side of healing. Not always. There are some cases. We've got some people in our Facebook group that we're supporting through lingering rage, less intense, so still improving, but still lingering and being a primary concern. So what was your experience in how rage started to move in your healing journeys for your kids?
I think exactly what you're saying is how it moved for us. I realized early on that the rage was still there, but I was like, oh, okay, instead of like taking a ton of work for me in an hour, that one only took like 20 minutes to come out of, and I didn't have to do as much work. And also too, whenever we got into homeopathy, there was a lot of like little tools that I was trying to implement before homeopathy, and they just weren't working. Once we got into homeopathy and she kind of like the intensity and duration of those rages started to come down, like the little tools, like going into a tent that's set up in the closet or whatever it might be, I think like some of her reasoning came back and she was able to reason a little bit whenever she was in the rages. But I don't really remember because it's been a while ago, but I feel like the rages kind of like it was pretty early, like in the 6 month range. She was doing relatively well with the rages, and they were just occasional and not lasting super long. But I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly.
You are.
It seems like it was something that, and then there was a little waxing and waning in there of it, but it went relatively quickly for us. What about you, Brittany?
Yes and no for us. Rage was one of the first things that we saw like homeopathy help with. But as far as like the duration, like the longevity of it over time, rage hung around for us. It would wax and wane for a really, really long time. It wasn't one of the things that fell off quickly. And then you throw in the mix, like ADHD and hormones and stuff like that. And then for a very long time, there was this like really blurry space where I'm like, is this PANS? Is this ADHD? What is happening? Like, you know, kind of things. But I think like in hindsight, at the end of the day, like that just like absolutely unreasonable, unmanageable stuff was something that did eventually fall off. And it was my, you know, healing that made me have to realize that like in hindsight, like this is ADHD and he's overstimulated, you know, and it's just, he just needs to chill out a little bit and like, we're okay. It's also just irritation and anger. We're not rage kind of a thing. And then, you know, now we're in sixth grade. So we're getting to that point where I'm like, is this preteen and hormones, or is this, you know, what it's, that's a fun game to play. But I think at the end of the day, like it looks different. It's not that PANS rage that was just absolutely unreasonably crazy. And, you know, for Torben too, it was kind of the same thing. We saw a lot of other things move. Rage kind of stayed for him for a while. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Sometimes it all just like blurs together at some point, right?
No, it did.
You know, yeah, it stuck around for a really long time, and it's still something we deal with. Torben's not completely through, right? And we're still waxing and waning. I will say, though, that our most recent flare, it came and went, and he responded to his remedy, and then he got good again. And so I was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to do. Like, I was so excited because we had like a normal like response for him. So it was really good, but that still is like a telltale sign of like when he's not doing well, that anger, that rage comes back for him. And then you talk about mom rage. For me, that's something that has lingered. So many things are better for me. Mm-hmm. But that is one thing that like, I can't tell you the number of times that like I got on my appointments and I just cried and I was like, I'm so tired of being angry. I don't want to be angry anymore. You know, so whether that's a familial thing or something like that, you know, it's taken a lot of tool in my toolbox. It's taken therapy. It's taken exploring other medications. It's taken lots of things for me to get to that place to where I'm like, okay, I am irritated. I'm not raging, kind of a thing.
And I think that you bring up several good points, a couple of which I was already like, okay, we definitely need to talk about hormones and how that impacts for both moms and for kids. When we talk about things like ADHD or other factors that could be contributing, and then potentially some just like learned aspects of how we navigate things, and those can all have influences. And then an additional thing would be someone's just baseline predisposition. So the homeopathy is not going to change you from who you are as a person. And all people at their best, when they are thriving and doing well, are going to feel generally good, right? And when we are all going to have times where, because we're sick, because we're tired, because we're overstressed, because we're depleted in one way or another, from just the baseline that we need as humans to feel our best, that we're going to lean toward whatever our predisposition happens to be. Some of us have a predisposition toward anger. Some of us have more predisposition toward anxiety. Some have more of a predisposition toward sadness. So whatever our stressed predisposition is, we're going to lean toward that more. And it sounds like perhaps in your family, Brittany, there might be a predisposition toward anger. That is part of the genetic and neurological makeup that your family has. And I don't live in your home, but perhaps there's some learned aspects as well, just from, because you guys have been dealing with this for so long, and we get into our habits and our pattern that we see this is what we do. And I don't know how to do something differently too. And so not to turn this into like a therapy session or anything like that, but to bring to.
No, but it's absolutely relevant to the healing of rage. Like we have the number of times that I've had sat in a therapist's office and said, you know, when is this going to go away? And she's like, well, like it's not, but we're going to learn how to deal with it in a different way. And I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to say. It's supposed to magically go away. That is the wrong answer. Thank you. It's It's absolutely, I wouldn't have gotten to the place that I am. And let's be honest, it's going to be something that I'm, and I think, you know, my boys also, we're always going to be working at. It's not that it's going to go away. This is like one of those forever journeys, right? There's not an end point. You know, you learn to deal with it because, you know, just when you think you're figuring out life, here comes perimenopause. And it's like, just kidding. We're going to turn your world upside down again. And, you know, whatever life circumstances and things like that. So, you know, it's absolutely relevant that, you know, there's going to be a time and a place for other things. And that's, you know, what you have to do too, at the end of the day.
Well, and all emotions are important and valuable. So anger is an important emotion. It can help us understand when we need to make a change for something and help us bring attention to something that isn't serving us. So there's value in it. So I bring this up just because rage is not something that you're just going to have to deal with for your whole life. Anger, yes, because it's a human emotion. Every human will experience anger. Some people are going to experience more sadness than anger, but some people are going to experience a lot of anger, right? And so since the topic of this episode is about rage, rage is next level, high, high, high level, not sustainable, potentially dangerous levels of anger rather than normal spectrum of human emotion and human experience, information delivery, anger, right? And so we should not expect to have our kids recover to a place that they have no anger ever, because that is not reasonable and it will not serve them, because the people who aren't experiencing anger are suppressing anger and it's going to come out in another harmful way. Anger is a healthy emotion when it is understood and action is taken with it. And as you said, hormones come and just throw things off and it just makes us have more difficulty with emotions in general. So you are likely to see, if you're, depending on when you start homeopathy for your kid with PANS who has rage as one of their symptoms, if you are not through that part of the healing journey and having anger, healthy expressions of anger show up yet, and you see puberty hit, you're likely to see more fluctuations in anger again. But they're probably not going to be connected to a clear trigger with the immune system. So it's not necessarily going to be, I had exposure to this virus at school, or I went into this moldy building and now I'm full of rage. You're more likely to see just random fluctuations that have something more to do with what's going on internally than externally. You might see more rage in your kids who have not recovered or moved past that point of symptom presentation in PANS than their friends in school. So you might see more rage in your kid who's still on the process of recovery with PANS, but not see the same triggers. So it will usually look a little bit different than, and it's going to be less of that dissociative type of rage, more external focused, more focused on blaming others and lack of accountability and frustration with not understanding what's happening in their body, or wanting to have autonomy, or wanting to have more capacity to do things than they're really capable of yet. So more like toddler rage is what you're going to see.
Have you been reading our records? Because like you just like definitely like spit out Gatlin's anger. Like,
no,
verbatim.
But I've been doing this a while.
A while. It's been a bit.
I feel like it's so interesting. Earlier you were talking about kind of shifting into the latter parts of healing, and then you're kind of, your kid's doing better, but you're having to decipher between behaviors. And I don't know. I feel like there's so many spots, like so many things that both of you guys have said. And I'm like, this is why mom and dad have to heal themselves. This is why we need to do homeopathy. Even Brittany, earlier you're talking about like our kids go into it and then they come out of it. And it is the wildest thing to have a kid go into a rage. You're doing all of the things, all of the energy, all of your emotion, everything. And then boom, it's like your kid completely forgets it happened. And like you're left in the aftermath. Yes. Like this is such a thing. Like I remember my husband and I, we didn't really communicate all that great through PANS and all that stuff. But that was one thing we were like, just happen? Like, and then your kid's just like walking around like, can we go to the park? And it's like, whoa. Yeah. And so that, like, that's a part of it. Wish I would have had homeopathy for myself. And I also wish I would have had myself in therapy. But then really what I was talking about originally, switching into the spot where, you know, your kid's doing better, getting better. And then they're appropriately getting angry at things. It feels confusing. And then you throw hormones in there and they're really irritated. And so, like, for me, as Avery got further into her healing journey, I was really having a hard time figuring out, well, is this appropriate? Because I kind of felt like homeopathy should make all emotions go away, because that's just how my silly brain
works. Because you think emotions are bad, Jody. You think if you have an emotion, it's bad. And if you're not having an emotion, that's great.
So I am not a big fan of feeling emotions. But then also, once Avery was feeling healthier emotions, it was hard for me to figure out what was and wasn't. And then, you know, by the time Avery went through puberty, she was recovered. So she, like, when she went into the normal for teenager, getting angry, debating, like putting her foot down, I'm like, oh my gosh, this feels like PANS. It felt a whole lot like PANS. It was not ever PANS, it's just a teenager acting like they have hormones or whatever you call it. But anyways, all of those spaces are really confusing and hard to figure out. And I wish I would have had homeopathy and therapy in the beginning to support through all of that.
So you mentioned ADHD earlier. ADHD is another one of those things that can make things a little bit more complicated and confusing, especially in the younger kids. And kids, as they're getting into the places where there's greater expectations put on them in school, especially, and that the expectations are not built for somebody who has ADHD. And so we can see a lot more rage, or usually it's not full rage. If you're seeing full rage where that's like dangerous, dissociative, destructive, violent, all of that type of thing, then it might be, it's beyond ADHD, right? If you're seeing the anger and the frustration and lack of emotional regulation, so not knowing how to handle that, and sometimes it could tiptoe into rage space, but not, there's just a difference, right, Brittany? I mean, you can see now with a little bit more space that there is a difference to the anger and emotional regulation that can come, or lack of emotional regulation that can come when ADHD is being challenged to function in a neurotypical space or a high demand space, than if you're going to see it from a completely dysregulated neuroinflammation space. And
absolutely,
a lot of times you're going to see, once you are able to identify it and give some supports and accommodations to help with emotional identification and emotional regulation, as well as just a little bit of space to work more consistently with how your brain works, those oftentimes calm down. They don't go necessarily fully go away, but they can calm down. And homeopathy can help with the bigger aspects of them. But sometimes there are things that you're going to have to focus on that are outside to help the person fit more into their environment when you can't make the environment fit the person. We also have the challenge, exactly, as you both have brought up, with the parent healing aspect too, that if you happen to be one of those people who has a greater tendency toward anger, you might see that there's a tit for tat, and I don't know that that's necessarily the exact right word, but an escalation, a mutual escalation of things, because you are so depleted from dealing with PANS for so long that your tolerance starts to get lower for irritability or various expressions that are reminiscent of the rage. And so you might get reactive because you have your own reactivity, as you should, and it's because you're human, to all of the stress that you've been under, and that the anger is met with anger, and that's met with more anger and more anger, and it can grow and grow and grow. And so that's another thing to just be cognizant of if you are not seeing those full blown big rages, but you're still seeing it linger for a while. This is maybe some signs that you've got a couple other things that you could potentially be looking at to either adjust how you're addressing it with homeopathy, or if this is a time that you could consider adding another supportive therapy. And there's another episode that we did recently about when could be really beneficial to add therapy that we'll link to in the show notes, so that if you want to take a listen to that to see when it might be useful, especially when we're dealing with something like anger that can have some complications to it. There's one more thing I really wanted to add about the healing journey with rage, and then I'll leave it to you guys with any additional thoughts. The other thing that I mentioned early on is that we will see frequently that anger or rage is in response to other symptoms of PANS, primarily like the anxiety that they're being challenged in for really hard, or their OCD that is really controlling their brain and invading their thoughts. Or it's usually those. It's usually one of those things. Sometimes it's depression and sadness, but it's most often OCD and anxiety that is underlying rage. So oftentimes as you're seeing the rage start to heal, those things are going to get stronger. And it's not because they're actually getting stronger. It's because you're seeing the underlying symptom, not so much the rage, because the rage is improving. And now you can more clearly see what was triggering the rage. I see big nods. So does this ring true for you guys?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Because we used to, like, in the beginning, Brittany, something you know nothing about with boys, like the getting the ponytail just right was like OCD. But
you're giving me flashbacks to my own childhood right now. So I do know what you're talking about.
Okay. So getting like that obsession, and also the like drawing, writing, like getting it just perfect, all of that was OCD. But it would result in rage. But then when rage got better, it was like almost like the OCD was worse, but it was because it was just more time because there was not rage happening.
I think I was just going to say the same thing. I was like, I don't think I ever really equated that. Like, it felt like, oh my gosh, we can't win. This finally got better. Now this is worse. But like, I've never had it thought about it from that perspective. Well, no. It's not. It's just that, like, this is more evidence now because this is better. And that makes a whole lot of sense because, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you right now, like, for me, the underlying trigger was anxiety and fear, right? Fear is a big one for me, just that fear that it's never going to get better, fear of not being enough, fear of being judged, fear of being, like, I could go on and on about all of those things. And, like, you know, for Torben, it's very much anxiety. And that took me, it wasn't until we got to that place where we saw that and he had that shift and he had the capacity to say, and it wasn't even the capacity to say, you know, oh, I am worried about this. I am this or that. I just noticed he started asking me lots of like, what if questions. And I was like, where is all of this coming from? And they were like pretty obscene and outlandish. And things like that. And finally, I was like, oh my gosh, he's having these underlying, like this really existential anxiety about like all of these things. And then, you know, for Gatlin, it was a lot of sensory stuff. It was a lot of OCD driven stuff. And his was some anxiety too. But in the beginning, it was definitely that sensory and OCD stuff that he was dealing with. But yeah, I mean, that's super about, look at me healing even more today so that you can understand those things. Look at that. So I don't think you ever stop.
Is there anything else that you guys can think of about your personal experience with rage in your kids, mom rage, or anything like that, that you think people should know? Or do you have questions for me that I didn't already answer about the healing journey with rage?
I don't think I have any questions. I think just sitting down next to anybody that's listening and going through this, it's really like a really, really hard thing to manage in your home. And there's just no way to do it right. We just all do the best that we can in every single situation. And nobody nobody parents PANS properly. Like it's impossible. And so if you are stuck in the middle of this right now, just continue to do the best you can with every situation and continue to seek healing, whatever that might look like for your kiddo. And just know that this thing will get better in time with healing. And just my heart goes out to you because it's really hard. It's really hard and it's really confusing to see your kid go through any of the symptoms, but rage was specifically difficult for me to watch Avery go through.
I think rage is really difficult for a lot of people because I would venture to guess, and I haven't done any actual statistics on anything, but just reflecting on my long time in practice, rage is probably what ends up creating the most limitations in the home because rage is ends up being the most outward expression of PANS that people see and also brings the most judgment. So it is what ends up keeping people trapped in their home, losing community, losing connection, because even if it's OCD that's keeping you trapped in your home, it's rage that actually lets you stay there, right? Because the OCD prevents the kid from wanting to go out, but it's the rage that comes and the meltdowns that come when the OCD is challenged that makes parents just say, "Uncle, I give in." So it's not just in the home, it's the things that you're seeing in the grocery store, on the airplane, and the school drop-off, all of those things that where it comes up. It's hard.
I hadn't even thought about the school drop-off rage.
Oh, it wasn't drop-off for us. It was the masking all day. And as soon as he got in the car, and it was like a 30-minute drive home from school for us at the time, and it was the entire way home. I remember like when I finally figured out that he was hungry too, like I spent a small fortune in beef jerky because if I could get just a little bit of protein into him as soon as he got in the car, there was a very small window that I had. It helped a little bit. It helped. And sometimes it wasn't as bad kind of a thing. So yeah, that after school, I'm going to stop masking rage was some of the worst. Yeah.
And you just added one more thing that I should at the very least mention before we wrap up and give one more big hug to anybody who is in the process dealing with this and hoping that you get the Jody experience, which is more common than Brittany's experience with how rage is healing. That if you're dealing with a kid who has ARFID, you can absolutely have blood sugar issues that lead to rage, right? And so that can be another factor. You might just legitimately be dealing with something that is a physiological response to low blood sugar and malnourishment. So that is another thing that is useful in selecting a homeopathic remedy if there is hunger connected with the rage and having the intensity of the rage. So all of the ways that you can describe the rage, what you're seeing, anything you can understand, any patterns that you see can be helpful for selecting remedies to help with the healing process. And then all of the things that we shared about what's typical and then some considerations and ways that you might see things show up. To wrap up, the main takeaway is that most people are going to see rage start to recover on the earlier side. You're going to see changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. It probably won't go away right away. You might not see all of the three, frequency, intensity, and duration, improve at the same time, but parts of them and over time. And you're going to see 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And as rage starts to heal, you're likely to see other symptoms that are the underlying cause of the rage or contributing to the rage start to be more apparent. And you are also probably going to become less tolerant. It's really frustrating and unfortunate that as symptoms start to heal, almost every parent becomes less tolerant to those symptoms than you were when they were worse, which sometimes, honestly, guys, makes them feel worse than they are. And so that is probably one more thing to just really share is that rage is a subjective thing, right? There is some objective things you can say, yes, they got this mad and threw these things this many times. There are this many holes in the wall. But there's also a certain component that is subjective because it's how you're feeling about what their emotions are. And it's the really vicious thing about PANS and recovering from PANS that you become less tolerant to the emotions as they become more manageable because you're just so depleted, right? And you're just over it. So there could be some times when you might be reporting to your provider that you're still dealing with these really challenging things, and they might be saying, but I'm seeing that it's better. And it's hard to connect. Maybe you guys can talk about that really briefly, because I know you've both had that experience where your provider is saying, but what you're telling me this month is a lot better than what you told me last month, but you're telling me it's no better. I'm confused. Can you share just a little bit about like your experience with that and any thoughts you have for parents who might be going through that part of it right now?
Go ahead, Brittany.
My kids were just being really tough at that point. And I was hypersensitive. And let's be honest, like my provider was probably feeling it too, right? For us, it just took having lots and lots and lots of conversations.
Jody, can you speak to that a little bit?
I hate that I always go back to like me being frustrated with what you were telling me, because I remember there were times where you would tell me, it seems like the rage is better, but it seems like you might be getting triggered in a different way. And I remember being like, no. But then the further I've gotten along, obviously with Avery's healing journey, but also with my husband's healing journey, I've become very, very aware of when something happens and it triggers me. My husband, he was like, whoa, like what just happened? And I was like, I just responded like things used to be. And I was like, I know that's not how it is now, but like everything in me is in the past and what I feel is. And so I think that's part of like, I didn't have the recognition of like my own self. And I think I was in such a post-traumatic space and I would have reactions to it. And then everybody would get elevated because I'm out of control. And it's really like having these reactions that I would not normally have. And sometimes for me, as I'm working through learning how to feel feelings, sometimes for me, this is anger. And it is, I don't know if I would say rage, but like, I'm like, oh my, like my whole body's on fire right now. Like I feel fire in my body. I am so angry. And the thing that happened didn't look anything like a rage used to look, but it was my own response to it. And so that's hard to like figure out. I'm grateful that you continued to tell me over time, very soft and very lovingly. And I was finally able to understand it, but it's hard. Because you do. Even when PANS starts to fade away, you still see PANS.
And PANS PTSD is real. I mean, you just described PTSD where you are behaving in the moment as if something from the past is what's happening and not what's actually happening in the moment. And so it is a legitimate and a real thing. And so I'm glad that we at the very least brought it up, because PANS PTSD can look like rage. And it looks like anxiety. It's usually one of the two. Sometimes it's sadness, but it's usually rage or mom rage or anger and anxiety. And it can be tough because that increased sensitivity that you have as things are starting to get better and you feel like you can let your guard down and you've got moments that you feel okay. And then you have a hint of something that feels like it felt before and you can react as if that's the case. And that's where you have to have open and honest conversations with your provider. Be willing to take a look at what they're seeing with a bit of space and not living in it. And this is a really vital point where you can make a choice that can help see you through to recovery or can make you abandon ship. And the reality is, at least at our practice at Resilience Naturopathic, I can't speak for other practices, but I know for sure our team is not gaslighting you and trying to make you think something is happening that is not. We are telling you the truth about what we see based off of what you've reported and willing to have those hard conversations. Sometimes we're a little delicate and we try to be selective about when we do it, because sometimes you're just not ready and we can tell that it's just not going to help. But at some point, we sometimes have to share, look, what we're seeing is the progress in the way that we expect it. It might not be as fast as you want. And it might not feel that way yet. Is this time that maybe you need some support and deserve some support? And I thought this was going to be short, but apparently there's so much to rage that we have to talk about. I mean, it's all important, right? Because there's so much overlap and so many things that can come into it and so much complexity that is important to help people see it through to the end. So if you're not seeing it heal in 6 months, like Jody saw, you're okay. If you're seeing it linger for a long time like Brittany did, you might have some other things going on that are worth exploring that could help you understand what's happening a bit better, get the tools that you need to make sure that you have the fundamentals that you need for health in order to get to the best place possible. And we're all still going to feel emotions because it's part of the human process. So we want to get to the place that anger can be a healthy information delivery source, not something that's driving us or controlling us. And we can get there with homeopathy. So, all right, ladies, any final thoughts or any last hugs for parents who are going through this right now? Just a big virtual hugs to everybody because it's hard and it won't be forever.
Yeah, for sure. Won't be forever. You'll get through this.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks for joining us, Brittany and Jody. I'll see you on our next chat that we're going to have about homeopathic healing of all of the symptoms for PANS pandas. All right. Take care, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for PANS and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, pandas, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.